When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To Japan Top 10 Podcast. Congratulations on your 400th episode. That's a great achievement. I'm sure you guys made so many efforts. Please keep doing it. I look forward to hearing your future episodes. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of J-Top 10. This is the final part in our 400th episode. My name is Lydia, and with me, I have...
All of us. We're all here.
I'm Lydia.
And I'm Edward.
And this is Tassie. And we're all here again to bring you another part of the interviewees. We've been interviewing past hosts, content producers, and audio editors. So we hope you've all listened to the past two parts of our 400th episode. And it brings me much joy and kind of a little bit of sadness to present to you the final part of this special episode. I don't know if you're crying from laughter or crying.
I almost want to do the crying kid from Ghost Story. Did you guys watch Ghost Stories, the anime? The dub?
Gosh.
It was, it's a lot.
Oh, the English dub?
Yeah.
And you know, what else is going to make us cry if you don't like, comment, and subscribe to our podcast?
Yes, if you love content like this, this is what you're going to get.
And without further ado, we have our first interview of the episode, and I'm going to pass it on to Edward.
Thanks, Lydia. It's me, Edward. No, you guys know this, obviously. But I had the pleasure of interviewing Andy. Andy is still on one of our wonderful hosts on Japan Top 10. Him and I, we usually do culture episodes together, but I know that you guys have done episodes with him too, right?
Mm-hmm. He's a hoot.
No.
Oh, never mind. Lydia's never worked with him yet, but he's a hoot.
I agree. He's a hoot.
Oh, sorry, Lydia Chan. Oh, I thought you did. Oh, man. But yeah, there's probably artists or there's hosts that you probably worked with that I haven't for sure. That's just because we have such a wide, we have such a huge mm-hmm. team that's all over yeah. the world. And Andy is in Japan. So I had to interview him. I think it was really early in the morning for me and really late at night mm-hmm. for him, something like that. Maybe it was the opposite way around. What is time, you know? Anyway, so please enjoy this interview with Andy. Japan Top 10. So I'm here with the wonderful and amazing Andy, who I've actually worked with before. It's so good to talk to you, Andy.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here with you, Edward.
Yay. So we were talking a little bit, but actually, I don't know, and the listeners probably don't know, or maybe they've forgotten, which is fair. How did you get your start on J-Top 10? What led you to this very moment right now, talking with me on a Thursday?
Yes, yeah, so lovely. It is like, what is it? The autumnal equinox, as it were. Mm. A very witchy evening. No, but my start on J-Top 10, I had just moved to Japan. So it's almost, you know, 6 years ago, or not 6 years ago, sorry, 5 years ago. The J-Top 10 comes a little bit after that. But
yep.
I just moved here and I was looking, you know, for ways to expand my, I guess just do more things. I felt very like stagnated at my current job. I was teaching English and yada, yada, yada. So I had heard about J-Top 10. I was looking for ways to practice Japanese, actually. And I was just perusing the Apple library of podcasts and stumbled across. I was like, I love Japanese music. I would love to listen to Japanese people talk about Japanese music. And yeah, one thing led to another. And I was sitting on the train going back to America to visit home over the winter holidays at, about 4 or so years ago. And I was listening to an episode. I believe it was Rekka at the time. Rekka was doing an episode either about Snap or about boy bands. I'm sorry. I really tried to like scour my resources to find exactly what episode it was, but I do not
Absolutely.
Have it. Yeah, long story short, I was listening to Rekka talk about the SMAP song, the song that I would like to feature on my little time slot here, which is Yozora no Muko. And I mean, like this, I have, as listeners know, and maybe as Edward, you know, as well, I love boy bands and I always have. Yeah. And this was like, yeah, I was like at the pinnacle of, I love SMAP, like SMAP X SMAP, like that old TV show.
Mm-hmm. Love that show. Oh,
yeah.
Like bringing that back. I mean, do they even do those anymore? Now I'm thinking about it. Cause like, does boy bands still have shows? Like, I mean, there was like Cartoon. There was like a bunch of stuff.
I think the only one left is V.S. Arashi, and when they're, I don't imagine they'll keep doing that, but
yeah, they honestly, people want it. I still want it. It's fun
too. I love them doing mini games. Anyway, sorry, big side note.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Now we're getting off topic. I'm so sorry. No. That's us, though. That's what we do.
Yes, but no, that is all to say. I think it was just like a perfect hook, and then you know there was an ad read or something right after that about like, why don't you try joining our staff? Mm. Oh, God. I don't know. I'm acting as if I don't do these ad reads. But yeah. Yeah. And
I love that.
Yeah. The rest is history, basically.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. Okay. Well, then let's get right into it. Let's hear this wonderful song by SMAP. Not being used with SMAP X SMAP. Just one SMAP. Dozo. あれから僕たちは何かを信じてこれたかな夜空の向こうには明日がもう And we're back. Awesome. That's so good. Oh, man. Nazukashi.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I mean, although I would argue all boy band stuff is very, like, nostalgic, but it's also kind of not, because now, I mean, not to mention, well, our sister podcast, and also even actually on our podcast, we do feature boy bands and girl bands even to this day. Like, they're still super active.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat in a way to know that it feels like a relic to us.
No, I agree. I think it's like, it's definitely shifted. I think you're kind of hinting at that with, like, you know, the advancement of K-pop and whatnot, right? In tandem, I feel like and that has, you know, in turn affected how J-pop groups choose to present and promote and produce themselves. Mm. But yeah, like exactly what you said. It just feels like a golden era, a bygone time.
Yeah. Oh, it totally does. Yeah. So what we're saying is bring back SMAP.
Yeah, SMAP.
Bring back the bring back the TV show. That's what I want.
We are, yeah, especially, and they had that whole cooking segment. I could really go on and on about the glories of SMAP x SMAP, but
oh man, we should, I'm sure we've already done an episode on this, but if not, we kind of need to. I mean, you and Tassie Chan could talk about that stuff forever, I'm sure.
Oh my god, yeah, I would love to. And of course, you know, that connects me to another part. A huge part of my development on the podcast was, you know, all of the cultures episodes kind of developing over my time here and whatnot, and so getting to do more exciting interview style things like we are doing today, and, you know, doing a lot of interacting with the other hosts on our wonderful podcast. It's just, especially Ethel, you know, Ethel and I being in the same time zone helps, so we can link up and we get to geek out about silly stuff. But I've more than anything, I feel like this song and everything about it kind of encapsulates a lot of my time here with J-Top 10. And I'm so happy that I can share all these wonderful, you know, memories and moments throughout various episodes with everyone.
Oh, well, thank you, Andy. Thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your wonderful autumnal equinox day.
Yes. Truly my pleasure.
Absolutely. All right. We'll talk later. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, guys.
Omedetou, Japan Top 10.
Oh, I love Andy.
He's the best. We have such fun when we record together. Oh, what a dream, what a treat.
Oh, I have a fun fact.
Go ahead.
Him and another person I will show my interviewee to are big, big, big boy band fans, and I know Lydia wants to talk to them soon. I can't wait. Yeah, I'm also, hands up, I'm also a big boy band fan.
Really? Oh man, that's so cool. I remember Tassie, when you and I, we did our first episode, you were talking about how big of like a girl band.
And if you want to know how nerdy I am with girl groups, you can listen to our past episode with me and Lydia of idling in Japan.
She's very passionate.
And you're passionate as well, excuse me.
That's true. So speaking of passion, Tassie, tell us about one of your interviewees.
Okie dokie, that's not a surprise anymore. It's my next interviewee is Ethel, and she is the second half of Andy's love for J-Oi band groups. Anyways, Ethel has been a long host of the podcast, and fun fact, she was my predecessor for being the lead host of the podcast. Please enjoy. Japan Top 10. Hi, Ethel.
Hi, Tassie.
Thank you for giving your time to do the anniversary interview today.
You're welcome. Long time no chats in a while.
I know. I think the last time we did an episode together was the travel around in Japan cultures episode, right?
Oh yeah, it was. We brought people through several towns in South Japan, I believe.
Yeah, that was like that was a very lengthy episode, but it was quite fun to do with
you. It was definitely good memory. I have no idea what's going on with my life. I mean, I just work all the time, so yes. So hi. Oh.
Hello. Well, as you know, today's going to be our 400th episode, so meaning that it's our anniversary episode. And one thing I would like to ask you, Ethel, is how many years have you worked on our podcast?
Probably about 4 years now. I think I've worked for the podcast for about 4 years.
Wow.
To give myself context, I'm pretty sure it's 4 years. Should be about 4 years.
How did you find out about the podcast and how did you decide to join?
So I stumbled upon JTOP10 by searching it up on the... So there was a time, so in about 2016, 2017, I got my first iPhone. So, and I know on the iPhone, there is the podcast app and podcasting was like picking up at that point in time. So I was very curious to know more about what's available, what kind of genres of types of podcasts were available on the podcast app on the iPhone. So my first thing to do, apart from being the nerd that I am, was to look for a science podcast, was to look for music-based podcasts that I was interested in, and I wanted to I was like, who knows what I might find. So I just looked up like Japanese music podcasts and I found JTOP10. And then I tuned in to a couple of episodes. So at that time, I was actually living in the UK. So during my commutes back and forth from where I was living to where I was studying, I would, or where I was part-timing, I would just tune into the podcast during my commutes. And it was quite therapeutic and it was very fun. So that's how I came across the JTOP10 podcast. And obviously, as most of our listeners will know, there's always the ads that play. So this was before we even had our Patreon. Yeah, definitely before our Patreon. Yeah, so I heard about the ad for them looking for podcast hosts. At that time, they were looking for podcast hosts and script and writers and I think audio editors as well. So I thought, oh, hey, well, I'm like, this is interesting. I like to do this. I have time. So that's what I did. And I just basically reached out to, at that point in time, I believe Rekka was doing the hiring. I might be mistaken. And yeah, I basically did the whole interview like every other host on JTOP10. We did the whole Jack might not want me to give this away, but yeah, we basically did like the whole podcast like audition thing. So yeah, if anyone would like to join the JTOP10 podcast, please know what's up coming your way.
Thank you for telling me that. Yeah, I think my experience of joining was quite similar to yours as well. It's called the ad, and I was like, maybe. But mine was like, it took many years for me to like decide to finally take a stab into auditioning.
But I'm so glad you did. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Since you've been in the podcast for 4 years or so already, like, is there like anything that in particular you remember, like the most memorable thing you've done in the podcast? Or
I think when we first started doing our collaborative episodes with like other hosts around the world, so as most regular listeners will know, my regular podcast co-host is actually Andy. So Andy's actually based in Japan, and at that time when we started doing co-hosting, I already moved back to Malaysia, so Andy is within my time zone, so it made sense to co-host with him, and we vibed off really well. And I believe one of the first episodes we ever did was talk about Japanese boy bands, which we both really love. And yeah, it just started off like a really good collaborative effort from then on. And yeah, I have a very close co-hosting relationship with Andy. And I always look forward to co-hosting with him on the regular.
Yeah, and he's considered to be a senior member of our podcast. So he's also in the interviews as well.
Yeah. I only joined J-Top 10 about... So I joined in the... So I joined Valentine's Day, I think.
Oh, by, cute.
I think Valentine's Day of 2017. I might be mistaken. And then I believe Annie joined April. So just as spring started around the world, he joined in April of the same year.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so nice. So you guys like been in the podcast around the same time.
Yeah.
Aw, that's like 4 years of friendship right there.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And sometimes I do catch up with Andy outside of the podcast. So it's been a bit fun.
Oh, that's so nice. One question that I am very curious about is since you've been on the podcast for 4 years, I'm sure that like being on the podcast for that long, there's a lot of changes that you see that come and go and everything like that. But how different is it now working on the podcast versus before when you joined?
Well, apart from the different amount of people that I work with now, I guess this time around I can say that J-Top 10 has more of its roles filled. So the distribution of work is a lot more easier because back in... when I first started, sometimes I would have to audio edit my episodes.
Oh, wow.
More often than usual. And I get really picky about it. But nowadays, I don't really have to do that. So that's quite okay. Because we have quite a very strong J-Top 10 podcast audio editing team now. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. Apart from that, so in this podcast, quite a lot of us actually hold a number of roles at any given point in time on the podcast. So I've held the role of lead host for about 2 years at one point in time, and then I stepped down because life got busy and I couldn't, and I wasn't very good at orientating news and onboarding new staff at one point. So I had to pass it on to someone else who had more time than I had. And we also have a sort of like a board of directors, I guess, inside J-Top 10. I've also been part of that for a brief while before stepping down as well. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. And it's just like, now that like I'm looking through our staff lists for J-Top 10, the current roster, it's pretty evenly packed. Yeah, so a lot of the work has been distributed out evenly. Yeah, it's always nice to see like a mix of faces every time coming in and out of the podcast. And the one constant will always be Jack. Hi, Jack. who not many of our listeners know, but he's basically the producer of the show in a way. He basically founded Japan Top 10. And if people want to know more history about J-Top 10, maybe we could interview him. I'm not sure that he's part of this interview. He can probably talk to you more about J-Top 10 before it was J-Top 10. It was not called J-Top 10. It was called something else. There you go.
I hope we can do that someday. I don't think he's part of the interviews, but yeah, it will be fun to have a Jack focus episode.
Indeed, it would. And like during Jack's time. So FYI to the listeners out there, I know a little bit about how the podcast was founded. So our producer Jack basically founded this podcast back in the day when he was still at university with his friends, basically. So they started this off and it wasn't called J-Top 10, as I said. It was called something else. I think it was called My MTI.
Yeah, something like that.
MTI Countdowns. I think it's called MTI Countdowns. And he basically started this English-speaking Japanese music-focused podcast with his friends. It's survived until now. It's very passionate about this. And I'm quite impressed by how long it's been around, too.
Me too. Anyways, thank you so much for doing the interview again, Ethel. And I had a lot of fun. I hope you had fun too talking about your history.
I did. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, thank Cassie. You.
Mm-hmm. 400th episode. Congratulations. Yeah. Omedetou gozaimasu. Congratulations, everyone at Japan Top 10. Congratulations on your 400th episode. This is Lena and you from Avocado Boys. I hope you guys all keep it up and keep on going. And we hope we can be on one of your shows again soon. As for Avocado Boys, we have a new album out. It's called Kiss, with 5 songs. Please do check it out. You can hear it on any streaming service like Spotify or iTunes or Apple Music or anything like that. Yeah, we have like 10 super cool, five super cool songs out. So yeah, please check it out and congratulations again. Omedetou gozaimasu. Yay!
Yay!
Yeah! Bye bye!
Oh man, just scheduling a interview with Ethel was a struggle because me and her are in way different time zones. She lives in Malaysia and I live in Los Angeles. Mm. But like, but yeah, like, I had like such a fun time and I hope that like my voice at the time didn't sound groggy because I was interviewing her at like, it was like 7 a.m. But I had a fun time. She's such a treat to listen to, and like I learned so much from her listening to all her episodes.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. A lot of mutual admiration. Yes.
Okie dokie. Enough with my fangirling moment towards Ethel. I will pass it to Lydia.
All right. It seems like the common theme of these interviews are time differences because I got the chance to interview Kirby and Kirby is in the Philippines. So it's also like a 12 or 13 hour difference. Mm. So it's nighttime for him and morning time for me. And we kind of messed up the scheduling, but it all worked out. Like we just got to make it work.
Yeah. Us on J Top 10, we make it happen.
Hey.
Hey.
Always does, doesn't it?
Without further ado, let's listen to Kirby. Japan Top 10.
Welcome to another episode of Japan Top 10. Hey.
So for our next guest, we have Kirby. Kirby, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Kirby. I am one of the hosts for the Japan Top 10 Countdown. You may have heard my voice for maybe 2 years now, I think.
Wow, 2 years.
Yeah, I joined 2019, I believe.
Yeah, you've been here for a long time. You're like my senpai.
Ah, no. And I'm a fan of anime. I'm a fan of J-pop, J-rock, ever since I was in my college days, and maybe even younger when I watch anime and TV. And I learned about J-Top 10 when I was listening to some podcasts about stuff during work, and then I was looking for maybe a good podcast that will give me information on new songs from Japan. So that's how I got to Japan Top 10. And then they said, hey, we're looking for hosts, you know, the usual ads that we do, right? So I said, yeah, I have the time back then. And right now, I still have time. But I think we're increasing in number. So I'm not doing the top 10 every month anymore. We're doing it, you know, in a rotation with other hosts. So yeah,
We have a lot of hosts.
Yeah. So it's cool, and I like traveling. When you used to travel, I mean,
yeah, when we used
when
to travel.
We all used to travel, I like traveling, and I like eating, but you know, when you get old, you kind of
you can't eat as
you
much.
You can't eat as much anymore. But yeah, I like pizza. I like Indian food. Yeah. I like...
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I like... what else?
The spicy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. No, I think that's good, Kirby.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, I'm glad that the listeners get to know you a little bit better, because they probably heard your voice for a lot of the episodes that you've done since 2019. So I'm glad they get to know you a little bit more. I have a question for you, Kirby, actually. Do you have any fun moments or fun memories that you have on the podcast?
Well, you know, before when I joined Japan Top 10, when I joined Japan Top 10, I was only doing the show solo by myself, just like how they did back then. Each show is just like when I heard Japan Top 10, there was only one host. So even in my audition where you had to mix and present how you would present the Japan Top 10 countdown, so I had to do one show, and then they said, okay, you do one show. And then things changed and became more entertaining when I had a co-host. And that was the time when I think it was Anna, I think. So
Anna, yes. I also did an interview with Anna.
Yeah, and then when I started doing it with Anna, I realized that, she's in a different time zone, like 12 hours ahead. So we had to rearrange our schedules. But I think 12 hours is more manageable than the other co-host that I had from Vancouver, or maybe even Tassie, who's in California, I think.
Oh, wow.
Which is like 14 hours, I think. I'm not sure of the numbers anymore. But yeah, when I started doing the Japan Top 10 with a co-host, it became more fun because I was actually talking to a real person, so we exchanged ideas, etc. But during that time, we still stick to the script.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
It was more more fun to do because we can validate each other's how we pronounce the title of the song or the name of the artist, etc.
Yeah,
that was cool. And then one other time, this is one other good experience was when I did the podcast with Tassie and you.
Oh, wait.
When we did the podcast together, we started talking about the song. And then it was weird because, you know, Tassie just started talking about the song. And then, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I was just trying to respond. And then sometimes we were talking about the facts of each song. And then, so what do you think about the song? And then I will just, I like the song. and then it started to be a more fun podcast for me because we talk about the songs more.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about. Like, everyone has a different opinion about the song. And sometimes we think about, like, some people like the song, some people don't like the song. So it's interesting to see what everyone thinks. So, yay, I'm glad that you have fun.
Yeah, it's you know, especially nowadays, you know, you should have fun all the time in whatever occasion that you have. Fun is a hard commodity nowadays.
I agree completely. And like doing the podcast, you get to meet so many different people. Like, you're in a different time zone and I'm in a different time zone, and we wouldn't have ever met if it weren't for the podcast.
You know, I work with people from California, from Vancouver, Toronto, in Japan. And I think I did a show with a new co-host, which is from India.
Oh, wow.
We're expanding, and it's getting more...
It's getting international. Goodness.
There's more variety in the show, and we get to hear people from other parts of the world and how they experience the Japanese pop culture in their side.
Yeah, you know, that's so interesting because although we live in different parts of the world, we still all have this same interest in Japanese music and culture.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Now that I think about it, that's pretty crazy. And I know that we listen to a lot of different songs, but do you have one song that you would recommend to the listeners to listen to?
You know, there's this one song I've been listening to lately, and it's I really can't remember if it was in the J Top 10, but it's from this guy, Yuri, and the title is Dry Flower.
Dry Flower! That's a great song.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. I just like the tune, but mm-hmm. I think it's a sad song. But you know, music is how you express your feeling. So the more you can express your feeling, you know, you bring it across in a good way. I mean, in a very expressive way. You know, the audience feels it.
Exactly. Like that song is also so catchy, and it's. I feel like you can sing it in karaoke and you can even play it on the guitar. It's just so easy to sing to.
I thought about that too. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Maybe someday.
Oh, you should.
I can do a cover maybe if I'm brave enough.
Oh, yes. You're definitely brave enough. Like that song, is it complicated to play?
It's more complicated to sing for me. You know, the song is really good vocally. It's not like your average pop song mm-hmm. that, you know, like, I mean, yeah. But it's a difficult song to sing because he, you know, you modulate your voice and then it's high and low.
Oh, yes. Notes. I can see. He's a very talented singer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, I wish I could sing that good.
Kerry, don't belittle yourself. You sing great. Have you ever heard of Kirby's covers, listeners? He covers a lot of different songs, and it's very interesting.
I do a YouTube channel. If you would like to go to my YouTube channel, Keiko Natsuya. It's a cover channel for my favorite J-pop, J-rock songs.
Awesome. Check it out.
So I do covers of L Garden, maybe some Radwimps, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So
the classics.
Yeah, it's my hobby. I was in a band too, so I like to perform those my favorite J-rock, J-pop songs.
Awesome! Thank you so much, Kirby, for doing this interview. And people, please check out his YouTube channel.
Thank you, Lydia, for the interview, and congratulations for this 400th episode of Japan Top 10.
Woo! Woo!
たぶん私じゃなくていいね余裕のない二人だったしずっと話そうと思ってたきっと私たちは合わないね二人きりしかいない部屋でさあなたばかり話していたよねもしいつかどこかで会えたら 今日のことを笑ってくれるかな理由もちゃんと話せないけれどあなたが眠った後に泣くのはいや声も顔も不器用など じゃなくてよかったもう泣かされることもないし私ばかりなんて言葉もなくなったあんなに悲しい別れても時間が経てば忘れてく新しい人と並ぶ君はちゃんとうまくやれているのかなもう顔も
Kirby, I haven't worked with him for such a long time.
Really?
Oh, we did the countdown together. So it was like a while back. It was like a year ago. But yeah.
Yeah,
from what I remember, he usually does his recordings in his closet.
Oh wow. He has like a whole setup. Like he can, like he, you know, the usually you have like soundproofing and all that, but he has like a little a makeshift studio.
No way.
It's so cute.
Oh,
I love that. I wish we had one of those. I don't know. In Toronto, we like rental space that like a premium. So try and carve out any kind of space. You kind of have to like use a closet, honestly, to do anything. Not that I'm recording in mine. I'm recording in a luxurious one bedroom, but still a closet makes a lot of sense to me.
And Kirby is actually a magician. Like he plays covers of he's in a band that does Japanese covers, like Japanese song covers.
Oh, I know that. He told me that before as well, but I never knew he was a magician.
No, I mean musician. Sorry, I slipped my mind. Kirby, I don't know that. Kirby, you can
maybe
never mind. Okay, Kirby. I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry my pronunciation. Oh, gosh.
It's all good.
No, you're good, girl.
And you know what else is magical? The next interviewee.
Oh, yay. Oh, my God. This was also a very fun interview. And my next person is going to be Rekka. And she isn't in our podcast anymore. But fun fact, she was our first remote member of J Top 10. Yep, so please enjoy.
Japan Top 10.
Hi, Tassie, how are you?
Hi, Rekka.
I'm good. I'm so excited for this episode. Rekka, for those who don't know, she was one of our hosts back in the day, and I've been a very long fan or listener of the show, so I know her voice, but this is my first time actually getting to talk to her, so
it's great to be back. I joined J Top 10, I think it was 2015, and then I left around 2020, so I was with the podcast a long time. I saw it grow, and I watched it like my own little child growing up and getting better, and I was like, oh, J Top 10, you're doing so well for yourself, buddy.
Yeah, you left right when I joined. Yeah, I joined in August of 2020.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anywho, so one thing I am very curious in asking, I've asked this to the other people I've interviewed so far, but how did you join J Top 10?
Sure. Well, actually, I was the first host to join remotely, which nowadays everybody's doing that because of the pandemic and stuff. But back then, J Top 10 was just like a little college production between producer Jack and a bunch of his friends he knew in person. So I was a listener of the podcast. I heard they were looking for people to help out, and that's how I joined. And interestingly enough, they used to have their annual meetings for the podcast. I guess this is like a little inside baseball, but we have our little staff meetings for the podcast. They used to do those in person, and then I would be on a big video wall joining remotely. And I remember they would have snacks. I could see their food, and sometimes they would hold food up to the camera and be like, "Here, Rekha, have a snack."
Speaking of which, since you've been on the podcast for a very long time, and have you actually like got to meet Jack in person yet?
Or? Yes. I did take a little trip to JTop10's hometown of Toronto, and I met a lot of the existing staff members at that time. I don't think any of them are still with the podcast except for producer Jack. We've had many, many talented people come and go over the years. It's great. I met so many friends through the podcast.
Yeah, I totally agree, because like thank you for paving the way for remotely doing the podcast. But yeah, I've met a lot of people from joining this podcast so far, and everyone's all around the world. And I'm like, I hope that someday I'll be able to meet our friends in Canada.
I gotta say that it's so interesting to have the variety of perspectives from all over the world. And it really shows you that the reach of Japanese pop culture is worldwide.
Yeah.
And it brings like that depth of not just perspective, but like how people got into anime or J-pop or whatever it is that got them into music so that they join the podcast. Because every country has like their own way that people get introduced to and get into Japanese culture. I will say that the worldwide reach of the podcast has had some logistical challenges. I know some of our folks over in Asia have to get up at odd hours of the night for our meetings and vice versa.
Very true. Yeah, because I just did an interview with Ethel, and I think when I, at first we were going to do our interview, I was going to wake up, I was going to do it late at night. And it will be afternoon where she's at in Malaysia, but scheduling conflict, it was vice versa. Yeah. So one question, another thing I'm very curious in learning was, what was the first J-pop or J-rock song that made you like fall in love with J-music altogether?
So I've fallen in and out over the years. Initially, it was all like anime music. Just stuff that I would hear while watching anime when I was a young teenager. And then at that time, I also had a friend who was into Visual K. So I was listening to like X Japan and like Malice Mizer and stuff like that. Then, and also like a little bit of like Ayumi Hamasaki and Utada Hikaru. But then I fell off the train for a while. I wasn't really like listening to much of anything. And then I gradually like got into like older stuff, like not just like retro anime music, but like J-pop from the 80s, things like that. And I think that what really led me down that path was not just my love of girl groups, because there's like so much great like female idol music from that time, but it was also that I used to like watching Ranma 1/2, which has a lot of great like 80s J-pop in it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, after this this interview, I'm going to ask you for your recommendations from like songs in the 80s, because I feel like that's been so in lately, especially in like TikTok or like...
It has been a little strange to see like the sort of like surge in popularity of city pop and stuff that was kind of inspired by Vaporwave, because I was like into that a little bit before all that started happening. And...
it's like oh, I'm a hipster in this. I'm just kidding about it.
I can tell you that a lot of records I own have gone up a lot in value.
When you were in JTop10, what was your favorite type of episodes?
My favorite type of episode was to do the themed episodes, especially the ones that had to do with like historical eras of J-pop, like the 80s or the 70s or something. And also I'm such a nerd for like stats and lists that I love making these lists of like, what are the top best-selling like J-pop songs of all time? Like, who are the top-selling female artists? Oh. This kind of thing.
So you were also a content producer as well at one point?
Yes.
Wow. You did everything. Wow. Oh man. For me, because now knowing that back in the day, because I heard this from Ethel as well, that you guys had to edit your own episodes as well. As a listener and as a fan, like I would automatically assume that like an audio editor did it, and you did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, as we've grown, we've been able to specialize a little more. So it used to be that back in the day, hosts had to do it all. They had to like do a little bit of background research. We had a script, but it wasn't as detailed as it is now. So we had to do a little bit of research. Mm. We had to edit our own episodes. We had to do all the recording and all the fine tuning ourselves. And sometimes,
so it was literally like a baby to you.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Each episode.
And sometimes we're even doing a little of the back end stuff, like uploading or getting the files together and stuff like that too. But now it's a lot more specialized.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you for giving your insight of your time at JTOP 10. It's very interesting to hear that. Before we end this interview portion, would you like to introduce a song to our listeners?
Sure. The song I picked is Blonde by Akina Nakamori. And I've been consuming a lot of stuff from Japan's bubble era lately, whether it's like new TV dramas that are set during that time, old stuff from that time, music, etc. And this song kind of epitomizes to me like this very expensive era of J-pop. Japan was doing like really well financially. You even see it in like media from the time. Like if you go back and watch Blade Runner, how they thought that in the future Japan was going to be like everywhere. Because that was like what was going on. But just like watching Akina's performances of this song, she's wearing like this really expensive like designer clothing, lots of gold, and the song has like very expensive sounding production. And I don't know, it's just like full of this like glamour and joy in a way that I feel like is really interesting. And it kind of contrasts with the lyrics of the song too, which are, it's like very complicated because it's like a lady that's kind of looking for a guy that can like push her around, mm-hmm. which is weird because like Akina Nakamori is like always kind of a strong character in her songs. So it's weird that she like wants to be somebody who's like, you know, sort of ordered around. So I feel like it's a very interesting song in that regard.
Oh, I haven't listened to the song yet, but I'm super hyped from hearing your explanation. So, wow, a new person that I've never heard, and thank you for recommending this song.
Awesome. Well, please enjoy.
And thank you for giving your time for me to give you this interview.
Yeah, no problem. And best of luck in the future.
Thank you.
This is another fangirly moment. I've been a very big fan of the show for quite some time, so I would always listen to her talk, and she has very interesting recommendations of songs.
Natsukashi is what I would say if I was alive in the 80s in Japan. But I will say, actually, a lot of, we talked about this in part two, which you should go listen to if you haven't, but like city pop and like 80s music is really coming back in a big way. I wonder if this song is going to make it on TikTok too. I wonder too.
There was the other song I've been hearing a lot on TikTok is Mayo Naka no Door.
Mm.
It's like, give me a moment.
Okay. While Tassie is looking that up, I will say, thank you so much for all of the indie artists that have provided shout outs. And thank you to Haley, our wonderful, wonderful, amazing content producer, for putting this all together. We really appreciate it. And thank you to all of our wonderful listeners for continuing to listen with us from the very beginning in 2013 all the way to now and beyond. So thank you so much for your support.
Okay, I came back after that really nice speech. But anyways, this song I'm talking about is Mayo Naka no Door. And the song goes like this. Stay with me.
That one. Yeah, totally.
Yes, that song.
Stay with me. Oh, I love that song. That song's so good.
Yeah.
That's also a huge city pop song, actually. That's very funny.
Anyway,
there's a theme.
Thank you for
speaking of themes, though.
thank you for listening to my horrible singing. But
your singing was so good. We have to do karaoke at some point.
Oh my god!
Like if I ever go to LA or if you ever come here in Canada, like we all have to get together and do this for sure.
A karaoke.
Yes,
we got
musicians and magicians.
Yes.
Oh, name that tune. Yes. Yes.
And the listeners have to guess the song.
Well, we're going to have a YouTube channel coming up soon. So maybe we can do that episode on there. It's the only thing we can do is put the actual music on it, but I think people can guess.
Oh, yeah, we can definitely do it. I know one of my favorite artists, Aiko, when she does like her DVD extras, one of the things she does, she literally sings like one, literally a syllable of a song and everyone has to guess it. And it's always a really fun time. So
that's so cool. I didn't know she did that.
Yeah, it's super fun.
All right, and this wraps up our final part of the 400th episode. Thank you so much for listening. We had so much fun interviewing our different guests, such as Andy, Ethel, Kirby, and Rekka. And with me today, this was Lydia,
Tassie,
and Edward. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Japan Top 10. Japanese music podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.